Well, first of all, I want to start with the traditional wish that we always begin on Yutas Kislev. Yutas Kislev is not just another special day in the Hasidic calendar. It's not just a regular Yom Tov. This is called the Rosh Hashanah for Hasidus, which means it's the new year, it's a new beginning, just like Rosh Hashanah. There is a new energy, there is a new blessings, there is new koiches, powers that we get. Same thing is for the Hasidic holiday of Yutes Kislev. It's a Rosh Hashanah. It's a new year with all new blessings, with all new energies coming down from Hashem. And therefore, we start by wishing one another for a good year. Just like on Rosh Hashanah, we say L'shana Tova, for a good year. We also bless each other, Shana Tova. This should be a good year. But we articulate this by saying L'shana Tova, B'limud HaChasidus, for the study of Chasidus, U'bedarkei HaChasidus, for the pathway that Chasidus leads, Tikoseimu V'sichoseimu, we should be written and we should be sealed. Good Yom Tov, good Yom Tov. This is a very special Yom Tov. It's a special opportunity to sort of renew your connection with your inner self. As we know that the inner part of Torah, which is the Chasidus and the Kabbalah, is not a different, there's not two Torahs. There is the same Torah, but the Chasidus provides an energy. It provides a sense of enthusiasm and excitement about your Yiddishkeit. It's not new Yiddishkeit. It's the same Torah, the same Yiddishkeit, but with a renewed energy and vigor and commitment. And this is what we wish each other for: a happy new year, for this special opportunity to connect and to be part of the teaching of Chasidus. So I want to wish everybody over here a good Yom Tov, and that all the blessings should take place. I want to begin. We know that it's very interesting. The Alter Rebbe writes to a letter to his mechutin later on, who was Rebbe Levi Yitzchok of Bardichev. He writes to him about his experience that he had during the time that he was incarcerated, and then about his ultimate freedom of prison on the Yutes Kislev. And the Alter Rebbe makes a point of telling him that when he was reading in the Tehillim, in chapter 55, he was reading the verse from King David, who said, "Poda b'sholoim nafshi mikrovli ki berabim hoyu imodi," that Hashem has redeemed me in a peaceful way. Before he said, "I can finish the verse," before I can say shalom, Pado b'nafshi b'shalom, I was granted my freedom, Mahashem shalom. This verse signifies the redemption. The Alter Rebbe points it out. The Alter Rebbe, coming out of his incarceration in a way of shalom, in a way of peace, unscathed, taking into consideration, the Alter Rebbe was arrested under very serious charges, and a very serious verdict was expected. He was taken to Petersburg in that black carriage which was reserved for the most criminals who were beyond, and yet, despite all this, the Alter Rebbe was able to be freed. And not only was he able to vindicate it, as the Alter Rebbe writes, all of the people, those who are sitting in judgment and could have, God forbid, punished and severe punished, yet he said, I went out b'sholem, completely unscathed and completely whole. It's also very interesting, the Alter Rebbe was freed on Tuesday. It was Yutes Kislev, was Tuesday. The Tehillim is divided in various different ways. We know, we say Tehillim as it's divided to the day of the month. So that every day of the month, we do a portion of the Tehillim. So that throughout the month, we cover the entire Tehillim. That's the way we do it. That's one way the Tehillim is divided. There's other ways it's divided. It's also divided by the days of the week. Some people who have more time and are not in a rush, they would say the Tehillim for a week at a time. So they would have the divided that way. It so happens, when the Alter Rebbe was in prison, I guess because he needed more help from Hashem, he didn't only say the Tehillim the way it's divided by the day of the month, he actually also said it by the way it's divided by the day of the week. Chapter 55 of Tehillim, which has the pasuk Poda B'Sholem, is Tuesday. Since the Alter Rebbe was freed on Tuesday, he was exactly saying that pasuk of Poda B'Sholem Nafshi. His son, later on, known as the Mittler Rebbe, the Middle Rebbe, during the time of the Tzemach Tzedek, there was three Rebbes at that time. So they had his grandfather, the Tzemach Tzedek. He was Shneir Zalman, the ones whose celebration we are celebrating today. He was known as the Alter Rebbe. He was the old Rebbe. The Tzemach Tzedek, his grandson, Rebbe Nachum Mendel, he was known as the present Rebbe, because he was the Rebbe at the time. And his father-in-law, the son of the Alter Rebbe, he was known as the middle Rebbe. So you had the Alter Rebbe, the present Rebbe, and the middle Rebbe. The name middle Rebbe stuck to Reb Duber, so we still call him the middle Rebbe. Which, by the way, the middle Rebbe's name is Dovber, and the middle Rebbe is named after the Magid of Mizrich, who was the teacher of the Alter Rebbe. His name was Dovber. The Alter Rebbe named his son Dovber after the Alter Rebbe. And it's, people don't know it as much, that Yutes Kislev is not only the day of the freedom of the Alter Rebbe from prison, but it's also the yahrzeit of the Magid of Mizrich, Rav Dovber. So this has a special connection. So Dovber, the Mittler Rebbe, he also suffered through difficult time, and he was arrested as well. And when he was arrested, he also came out of prison on the 10th day of Kislev. We celebrated it 9 days ago. Today is the 19th. That was on the 10th of Kislev. The 10th of Kislev, he also, when he was saying to him, it so happens that chapter 55 is also on the day of the 10th of Kislev. Mm-hmm. So it's on the day of 10th of Kislev, it's on Tuesday of the week. Mm-hmm. And they both said the pasuk of Poda B'Sholem Nafshi when they earned their freedom. So this pasuk, we'll have a chance, we'll talk about it later on a little more. This is special, the celebration of the day of Yutes Kislev evolves around this pasuk. We have a very special traditional nigun, a song that we sing from Poda B'Sholem Nafshi. If you're not familiar with the words, if there's a Tehillim over here, if you have some Tehillims, I'm not sure how familiar are, so maybe or get your phones or the Tehillims and join in. This is a special song in honor of Yutes Kislev, in which basically we express the gratefulness and thank you to Hashem for all that He has done for saving the Alter Rebbe and then henceforth saving us and bringing us and to know that we can only rely on Hashem. While people and enemies may try to hurt us, may try to cause us damage in various different ways, we know Va'ani Eftach Boch, we trust Hashem. Amen. Hashem will come through.
Amen.
Especially in our times when Klal Yisrael is witnessing some of a great difficult, we're living in difficult times now, especially our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael. We have to remind ourselves that Hine lo yonu v'lo yishon shemer Yisrael, the guardian of Israel, neither sleeps nor slumbers.
Amen.
And even though sometimes it seems so scary and so difficult, and we don't know how this is all going to end, we have to know, like with the Alter Rebbe, his freedom. We have to know Va'ani Eftach Boch, that we trust Hashem. And at the end, it will be Podo B'Sholem Nafshi Mikrovli Kiberabim Hoyu Imodi.
Rabbi?
It's also a Pasuk.
Yes. Ani Eftach Boch. What?
It's a Pasuk Yutes.
It's Pasuk Yutes as well. Excellent. It's also verse 19 in the over there. So if you don't know this song, just hum along with us and you learn it. It's pretty straightforward.
Oy viyato
V'yato elokim toyri yidem liver shachas. V'yato elokim toyri yidem liver shachas. Anshe domim domim umirmo. Loy, loyech tzu, loyech tzu yimeihem anshei domi yiyim domim umir. Loy, loyech tzu, loyech tzu yimeihem ani eftach bor va ani eftach bor va ani eftach bor va ani eftach bor va ani boy va ani bor va ani eftach 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 va ani
First of all, I'd like to thank Yochanan Ellis for inviting me for the opportunity to be together with Hasidim on Yutes Kislev, especially close and dear to my heart. Not only are we neighbors, Massachusetts and Rhode Island and Sharon and Providence, so we're neighbors, Shochen Toiv, but Rabbi Laufer, the Het Shliach, for many, many years in Providence, Rhode Island, and of all of the state of Rhode Island, he's a person that I've always looked up to and continue to look up to. His dedication, his total Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, the way he works with Mesiras Nefesh. Actually, the first years when I came here, Rabbi Laufer used to invite me over to be the Shliach Tzibur for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur at the Chabad house over here before I moved to Sharon. I used to live in the Brighton, Brookline area of Boston. And for the Yom Neroyim, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Rabbi Laufer would bring me down over here. And that was my time spent over here, besides family time when we would get together. I also see here a lot of special dear friends, besides, of course, Yochanan, who is a major inspiration whenever he comes to our shul. Gives a lot of chayis, has a lot of energy, Baruch Hashem, and he shares that energy with the people around him. And
inspiration.
And of course, I've always hold the greatest, highest regards, Rabbi Yossi Laufer, Itchy Laufer. Oh, was that Itchy? Yitzchok Laufer.
We don't say
Itchy. Yeah. I'll tell you because I've seen a lot of shluchim, and I deal with a lot of shluchim, but Yossi, what do you call him? Rabbi Yossi, what do you call him?
Rabbi Yossi.
Rabbi Yossi is unique. He's a unique shaliach, and he's a unique human being. I would tell you very, very simple. You know, a lot of times, shluchim, they fight for their people, and they are very protective of their people, and they're very, but I found that Rabbi Yossi Laufer is one who would be thrilled and is always happy to share whatever he has or whatever he knows, whatever knowledge. He doesn't consider it like it's mine and it's not yours. Whatever he has, he's the first one, not just because he's my nephew, but he's just, that's the way he is. He just is open. And I have to say, when Rabbi Chaim Yaakov Chaim, oh, I got it. I call him Rabbi because he's an attorney, but you know that Jeff Gladstone, together with his son Kalev, they undertook to study for Smicha. You know, and it's never easy to get Smicha, but especially when you start later on in life. While he is a brilliant man, he's a brilliant attorney and everything. So, but still, this is another area of law, not exactly the law that he has been practicing. And he told me that he's going to be here. I'm so happy to be here because, again, you know, Rabbi Yossi shared, you know, him with us. He helped us out when we needed some help. And unbelievable, the kindness and the willingness to share. But why do we make a Fabring? I want to go, and then there's some of the other people that I know and that I don't know, but I'll get to know tonight. Why do we make a Fabringen? It's to celebrate, and to celebrate the Alter Rebbe's freedom. What's the Fabringen? A Fabringen is a time that we get together and we try to focus and concentrate. You know, all of our lives are constantly busy and hectic. We're always running around. Of course, Rabbi Binyamin, I forgot to mention that, is just our lives are very busy and our lives are very hectic, and we're always on the phone, we're always checking up the news, and we're always like all these electronic leashes that we're on, and we're like always, we don't have really so much headspace and so much time to focus on things that we really should and what we really enjoy. And we're constantly pulled. The truth is that life is very demanding. Life is very demanding, and it's very difficult. You know, of course, we have Shabbos. Shabbos is a day of rest. We leave everything behind. And people who haven't experienced the Shabbos maybe don't really appreciate what the gift of Shabbos that the Jewish people have, that it's a day in which you leave everything behind and you can concentrate on your family, on Hashem, on your davening, and really be where your neshama, where your soul wants to be. If I bring in today, we're sitting together, is a time that it gives us a little bit to leave some of our daily routine, our obligations, leave it behind, to be able to sit together as brothers, as chassidim, to be able to sit together and to celebrate what Yutes Kislev means to us, what is the 19th day of Kislev. Of course, we're not just sitting here to commemorate something that happened within the past. We're sitting here to commemorate the past, to find it, how is it relevant to us today? How we can be inspired, how we can be uplifted, how we can get the courage. We're sitting here today, while we're sitting here in this room, we need to focus. Let's leave all of our problems, all of our pressures, everything that takes us. Let's, for a little bit, sitting together, we're saying a L'chaim by Chassidus. Let's focus a little bit about our real self, about our neshama, about what's really most important to us. And, you know, read in this week's parsha, you read about what did Yaakov say? He says, "Im lavon garti." Lavon, he worked there. He had a job. He had to take care of Lavon. He lived in a home. His father-in-law, he was a deceptor. He was deceiving him constantly. He had a hard work. He said, day and night, as he, Yaakov's words himself, he didn't sleep and he didn't, the heat and the cold, he suffered and everything else. But what did Yaakov say? Im lavon garti. The physical was a stranger to him. That wasn't who he was. As Rashi says in the second, Tayag mitzvah shamarti. The most important thing to him in his life was the observance of the Torah and mitzvahs to all of us. While we are on a daily basis, we are pushed, we're doing physical stuff, but we have to always remember that our place and what makes us really happy is to be able to give our soul, to give our neshama, to focus on the important part of life, what is really meaningful to us. And if you don't stop, you miss out. That's where we make a fabrengen, to sit and think, and together, to go ahead, encourage each other. Today, we have so many challenges. In the olden days, a lot of the challenges were physical, and they were the governments in where the Jewish people lived in. They didn't allow them to observe Torah and mitzvahs. Like, well, we're going to have the miracle of Hanukkah, which was also a time in which the Jewish people were denied their religious practices, their freedom. They interfered. The Jewish people were abused. They were constantly treated badly. That was the challenge then, how to stay strong in Yiddishkeit, despite the challenges. Today, we have another sort of challenges. Baruch Hashem, nobody stops us from learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. There's no government that oppresses us, doesn't allow us. We can learn to our heart's desire. But we have other kinds of challenges. We have challenges, the world out there. We have all kinds of distractions. We have all kinds of ideas. In the olden days, you could at least insulate in your house, in your shul, in your place where you can live a holy, a special connection with Hashem life. But today, it's everything is pulling at us. So we have challenges. It's hard to do it alone. We get together to a fabrengen so that we can encourage each other. We can remind ourselves. We can sort of say, look, Hashem, we are really your people. We are Hasidim. We have a special mission. Remind ourselves. Don't forget who we are and what we're all about. And by focusing on the Alter Rebbe, how the Alter Rebbe had Mesiras Nefesh, he had self-sacrifice. I have to understand, and I say this because you just read the story, but it's more than reading the story. You have to imagine. Use your imagination. Here you have a rabbi, a most talented rabbi, a most brilliant, a genius in all areas of learning, scholarly, leadership. And he took a mission to go ahead and take the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, of the Maggid, and bring it into practice. You know, the Alter Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov, and the Hasidim, they came to the Jewish people after a time that the Jewish people suffered from of the some of the false messiahs. There was the Shapsi Tzvi, there was the Frankisten. There were very kinds of groups of Jewish people who were not Jewish, not religious. They didn't follow the Torah and mitzvahs. And the Jewish people suffered from them because they falsely declared themselves to be, and a lot of the people followed them. So when the Baal Shem Tov came around, and the Baal Shem Tov was beginning to teach the people that is the most important to Hashem is not only how much Talmud you know, but Hashem wants your heart. And that sometimes when you do things with feelings, you do things with devotion, with meaning, Hashem values that maybe even more than an extra page of Talmud. This sincerity, so many stories about the Baal Shem Tov. He started teaching Hashem loves each and every one of us. But the common understanding at the time was that you have to be learned in order to be of any value. And if you are not proficient in the Talmud or in the commentators, you couldn't get an aliyah when you come into a shul, which everybody was a scholar. They did not consider people who were not up to that level worthy of even saying hello to. They looked down at them. Baal Shem Tov realized and came with the idea that a lot of the Jewish people felt they don't have place in the Jewish community because the very religious and learned people didn't value them. And financially, emotionally, they were pressed. And a lot of them felt that they don't belong anymore to Judaism because they didn't have really a place. And the Baal Shem Tov reached out to them with love and with care, with affection. He used to tell stories from the Midrash and from the Talmud. And slowly but surely, he started to attract people. And they liked it. But what happened? The opposition. He used to call them Misnagdim, the opponents. They were afraid. What's this new philosophy? Somehow, it looked like this is a again, starting something new over here. Who knows where this is going to lead? And also, they felt it was a breakdown of the hierarchy. There was a hierarchy, and they wanted to preserve that hierarchy. They didn't want to say, well, you're a Jew, and I'm a Jew, and we're brothers, and we're equals. They didn't want that. They wanted to be distinguished. They wanted to be special. And what was the Baal Shem Tov doing? But there was Baal Shem Tov had a lot of opposition. The Baal Shem Tov, after his passing, for a year his son took over, but he wasn't a strong leader, and they went over to the Maggid of Mizrich, Rav Duver, the Maggid of Mizrich. Under the Maggid of Mizrich, he attracted some of the greatest minds of scholars of that time. And that was directly competing with Vilna, in which the head chief rabbi was the Gaon Rebbe Eliyahu of Vilna. And the Alter Rebbe, when he turned 18 or 17, he was an outstanding scholar. He had reviewed the Talmud already for the 18th time. He was a major Talmud Chacham. He had to make a decision where he's going to go. Is he going to go to the Maggid of Mizrich, or is he going to go to Vilna, to the Gaon Rebbe Eliyahu? And he decided that because he knew already a little bit how to learn, to study the Talmud, he was going to try and see what is it by the Maggid. Anyways, he ended up being by the Magid. During the time of the Baal Shem Tov, and during the time of the Magid, there was a lot of opposition. They put the Hasidim into excommunication. They did everything they knew how to try to stop the movement of Hasidim. They tried everything that they knew. During that time, many of the Hasidim, the elder Hasidim, the leaders of the Magid of Mezrich, could not tolerate anymore all the abuse and all of the tsuris, that difficulties that was dished out to them. And don't forget, it was Jew against Jew. It was brother against brother. It was religious people against religious people. This wasn't non-religious people. They were being hounded by some of the greatest holy people who were against them. They couldn't tolerate it anymore. They decided that they're going to move to Eretz Yisrael, to Israel. In those days, to move to Israel is not like today, that you go to Nefesh B'Nefesh and you get some, it was a whole big to-do. You had to get on a boat from Turkey and to go. It was a big, unfortunately, there were three boats and one of them never made it, ended up in the sea. That was another story. But the Alter Rebbe was one of those families that went along with that journey, was going to leave and go to Israel as well. But when they stopped over there before they finally came to their going onto the boats to make the journey to Israel, the older Hasidim, the disciples of the Magid of Mezrich, they begged the Alter Rebbe, please go back. You have the energy. He was younger a little bit than the other one. You have the talent. You have the leadership quality. We need you. We need you to go back, and you need to keep Hasidus alive in Russia, White Russia, in all the communities out there. And he gave in to their request. And he came back, and that's when he started really very strongly spreading out the teaching of Hasidus. I say something wrong, I chased everybody away. No, okay.
One person got a phone call.
Okay. Okay. He came back and he began to attract more and more. As the Pasuk says, the kasher ya'anu oisoi ken yirbe v'chein yifritz. The more that they put in the way of the Alter Rebbe and of the Hasidim, and the more they try to stop them, the bigger they increased and the more followed. And it wasn't just the simple people, the scholars, the leaders, the rabbis, they all found the message, the attitude, the direction of the Alter Rebbe so needed and wanted, and they became Hasidim, and they became followers of Alter Rebbe. Now you have to understand, we a lot of times we have rabbis who can come up with a good insight, a good interpretation. But you have sometimes a rabbi like the Alter Rebbe, who was a new soul. He didn't just come up with an interpretation. He didn't just write a book. He created a movement. He created the Chabad movement. He changed things on the ground. The Siddur, the Shechita, the Mikvahs, everything. There's not a... And he wasn't afraid to take decisive. It took an enormous amount of strength, incredible, of the Alter Rebbe to go through with the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov. Over there was an idea. It was a philosophy, but it didn't translate into action. The Hasidim had their own shuls. They had their own shchitas. Everything, there was a tremendous change on the ground. Alter Rebbe ruled, put on Rabbeinu Tams, everything, all the various different traditions, the Alter Rebbe brought it down. The Mesnagdim, they stooped to a lower level. And they decided that they're going to get the government involved now. They're going to slander the Alter Rebbe because everything else, all the excommunications, all the bad Lashon Hara, and whatever they can say, backfired. It worked just the opposite. So they, no choice, so they said, they stooped down to the level that they were going to slander the Alter Rebbe in front of the government, and that way they'll get rid of him once and for all. Because they realized, if they can do away with the Alter Rebbe, that will solve their problem. The Alter Rebbe was in their way. So, the Alter Rebbe, they had two complaints against the Alter Rebbe, basically. There's a whole bunch of complaints. What did they slander the Alter Rebbe? As I said before, many of the Alter Rebbe's contemporaries, his older students of the Maggid of Mizrich, who moved to Israel, they had no way to sustain themselves. Mm-hmm. Zero. They were desperate, desperate, desperate situation over there. The Alter Rebbe undertook to raise funds amongst his Hasidim, and you see in all of the letters of Igeres HaKodesh, he always is soliciting, asking for funds for Eretz Yisrael. The main way to sustain the Hasidim in Eretz Yisrael was through the funds that the Alter Rebbe raised in amongst his Hasidim. Russia at the time, Israel at the time, was under Turkish government, and the Turks and the Tsar were at odds. So the Mesnagdim, they utilized the fact that the Alter Rebbe sent large funds to Israel. He was sending it to help the poor families over there. But they didn't care, so they took and they said that the Alter Rebbe was actually trying to overthrow, to support a government which is against the Tsar. And that was a very, very serious allegation. That was a very, very severe complaint. Mm-hmm. And the other complaint was, those who learn Hasidic teachings will see that the Hasidus talks about the various different levels. It talks about Malchut. Malchut in the order of the Sefirot is considered to be the lowest level, the recipient from the other levels. Again, they misinterpreted it as the Alter Rebbe saying that the government means nothing. Malchut, because the Alter Rebbe was talking in the Kabbalah, that Malchut doesn't have. And they said that the Alter Rebbe was trying to undermine the government. But their slander was accepted. Now, there's a lot of beautiful, beautiful stories during the time that the Rebbe was arrested and during the time that he had to face the interrogators and how he had to. Beautiful, beautiful things that eventually they came to the realization that the Rebbe was innocent, not only that. But we know, as the Rebbe, Alter Rebbe himself said, we know this wasn't just a physical, you know, they slandered him and therefore he ended up in jail. And later on he was freed and we celebrate. This is a lot much more than that. As the Alter Rebbe was visited in jail by the Maggid and the Baal Shem Tov. Mm-hmm. Now the Alter Rebbe never saw the Baal Shem Tov. He saw the Maggid. So he said they came, the Maggid, and somebody went in front of him. So he figured it must be the Baal Shem Tov because he couldn't recognize the Baal Shem Tov. And they came to him to visit in his cell, in prison. And the Alter Rebbe asked him, He says, why do I deserve this? Why is this happening to me? And they told him, because you are disseminating Hasidic teachings of the Baal Shem Tov and the Maggid on an unprecedented way. Up till now, it never was. And because you are doing this, there is a big criticism in the heavens above. And they want to stop you. They want to stop you. Matter of fact, this criticism started already years earlier. Maybe we'll get into it later, but there's been a big criticism. So the Alter Rebbe asked them, does that mean because there's a criticism that I should perhaps cease once I get out? They say, no, you should do it even stronger and more. And we know that after Petersburg is as it's known, the dissemination of Hasidus started in a much stronger way. The Alter Rebbe had Mesiras Nefesh, literally, to teach, to bring the teachings of the Alter Rebbe and of the Maggid and of the Baal Shem Tov. The Alter Rebbe changed things on the ground. What are we supposed to take out from this? A Fabrengen is good to encourage. Rebbe always says we should take out something practical. What do we take out from a Fabrengen? Okay, to be inspired, to feel good, Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu, we're lucky. What do we take out from here? Today, in order to be able to stand strong all the challenges we face, in addition to our Fabrengen that we have to have one in a while, we have to learn Hasidus. Today, you cannot really be strong without learning Hasidus. In the olden days, people were able to learn just Gemara, maybe they were able to learn Musar, and that was enough. Today, we have to learn some Hasidus. Some say, how do you learn Hasidus? Who do I learn Hasidus' word? What should I do? Now, a lot of people I see, I learned the Rebbe's letters, which, by the way, he said one of the very popular podcasts is called the Rebbe's Advice. I give a class every day, every weekday. I give a class for a half an hour in which we read the Rebbe's letters. And the Rebbe gives tremendous every morning. The Rebbe gives tremendous advice. The Rebbe gives. So a lot of people write to the Rebbe, and you know, you see a lot of times the same questions as the Rebbe. I'd love to learn Hasidus, but I don't have a teacher. I don't know. I don't understand it. It's very difficult. You know, people are used to, you know, when you open up today, you know, you can't learn. You open up a Steinsaltz, you open up an art scroll. I mean, you open up today, Baruch Hashem. But the same thing is true today for Hasidus. In the olden days, the Rebbe says you have to learn it regardless, and you learn how to learn it. Today, Baruch Hashem, we have so much Hasidus available. It's been translated, it's been interpreted, it's been brought down. Even you take a Chumash, whether it's all the regular Chumashim have it to do. You have the Gutnik Chumash, you have the Chabad Chumash, if you read there, you'll have a lot of Hasidus insight. You have a lot of inspiration. That's not learning directly from the Maimer Hasidus. Of course, there's no substitute for actually learning a discourse, a Hasidus discourse. You know, Baruch Hashem, me and Akiva here came with me every morning. That includes Sunday morning. We spend 45 minutes to an hour learning the Rebbe's Maimorim. No, we do that every morning. Actually, we get up at 6 o'clock. If anybody wants to join the Zoom, welcome to it. We get up every morning, 6 o'clock, no matter what, rain or shine. We learn for an hour, 45 minutes, we learn Hasidus. But one point over here is not to tell you what I do. Everybody should come out. Hasidus, the Rebbe promotes this so strongly. He says, today, in order to have Yira Shamayim, in order to be a frum yid, basically, You need the inspiration. You need the learning. You need the teaching of Chassidus. L'chaim, l'chaim. The Eibishter should help that this day should inspire us to give us koyach, want us to become connected to Ilona Dechaya, to the tree of life, to the Alter Rebbe, and to all of our Rebbeim, and together we'll merit the coming of Mashiach. Mehri Yemeinu, l'chaim, l'chaim. Sure.
So I learned at a Lichtish yeshiva in Muncie, how do you bring Hasidish into your life? If you learn it at a Lichtish yeshiva, there's one Tanya share a week, and two young bachers from Morristown come to give it.
Yeah.
It's in the cafeteria. So how do you bring more Hasidic into your life if you're not used to learning it?
Once a week of Tanya.
One of the things, I mean, you mentioned that. Like mentioned Tanya, you know, one of the things the previous Rebbe instituted, and which is also something which is very important, and the Rebbe writes in countless letters, is to follow those shiurim. And that's the shiurim, they're known as chitas. Chitas is abbreviation, actually comes from the parsha that we just learned, that this week's parsha in Vayishlach, it says that after they slaughtered all the people of Shechem, the sons of Shimon and Levi, they killed them, so they were very afraid that they're going to chase them. It says, Vahi chitas alikim, the fear of Hashem was with them. The word chitas is spelled ches tof tof. So ches tof tof. Chitas means fear. Fear them. So the previous Rebbe instituted a special class that we have to do every day without exception. That's called the ches, stands for the chumash. That means the portion of the chumash of the day together with Rashi's commentary. Then the tof, the first one, says for Tehillim, to say the portion of Tehillim every day. And the second Tav stands for Tanya. That's the portion. The Tanya has been divided by the year. Sometimes this year, for example, we started today on Yutes Kislev, the very beginning. It's divided this year because it's a leap year. It's divided over the 13 months, including the second Adar. And then there's also the way it's divided in a Shana Pshuta, in a regular year, which is not a leap year. So those classes, just to say, so as a minimum, you say, how do you learn Chassidus? As a minimum, one should try, either you can purchase a book. I saw the book of Weinberg's book Shiurim Batanya from Rabbi Weinberg. So either the shiurim of over there, that's one way. And there's also numerous classes, actually, on my site, there's actually classes for the entire Tanya as well. Again, if it's new and it's not familiar, in the beginning it may be a little bit hard to fully appreciate and comprehend, but as you go along, things will get a
little value in learning. The yeshiva that learns Hasidic Seder, like Morristown or Miami or one of these.
What do you mean? There's value over what? Over?
Over just the Baltic.
Everybody, everybody's neshama has their. It's hard to say, especially that, you know, this is another conversation, but I'm just saying today there's an opportunity. It's pretty easy. Anybody who wants to taste from the teaching of Chassidus, it's pretty much available to everyone. Let's do a nigun, and then we'll hear from Rabbi Laufer. Ha ya da ra ya
Ira ira yei masai asimar li yikshayev tzumayn sechachutza aha 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 ira ira yei masai asimar li yikshayev tzumayn sechachutza hai masai 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 asimar Leik sheye futsu masai 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 kosimak Leik sheye futsu Lai da de la ya de la ya 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 Le ma ya de la ya 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 Ta ma ya de la ya de la ya 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 Ay ay te de ma ya Aha Aira, 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 hey, Mosai, Osimar, Lake Shaye, foot, so man is a cop.
So, anyways, he asked the question. I hinted a little bit of the answer when I was talking about it before. He asked, wasn't the Vilna Goyen, wasn't he a great man? By all accounts, even by the Hasidim, and how come they did this? How come they went so far? You know, there's not a lot of recordings that I have access to, but on my site, actually, on my Yutus Kislev site. One of the recordings there that I got a hold of many years ago, and I posted it, is a Habrengen of Yutes Kislev that was attended by Rabbi Yosef Ber Soloveitchik, the Rav, from Boston. He attended a Chabad Yutes Kislev Habrengen. So he has I have the recording. If you go to torrecordings.com, at the bottom, there's a section which is called Yutes Kislev, classes for Yutes Kislev. One of the classes, Yutes Kislev, I have the recording of Rabbi Yosef Dois Soloveitchik. And interesting Fabrengen. He discusses there a story. First of all, he says a little bit about his history. He's a descendant of the Reb Chaim Volozhiner. These were the students, the main students of the Vilna Gaon, of the Gro, but he sort of relates over there that where he grew up, his father, they sent him to a cheder, and the Malamed in the cheder was a Lubavitcher. And he said he got a little Tanya, he got a little Hasidic inspiration. Whether he says it in a joking way on the recording, it's not such a clear recording, but you can hear it. You go and you'll hear it. He says over there that whether his teacher at a young age in the cheder, whether he was successful or not, he says you be the judge by what he's going to say. And he goes through the story, but he says, "I'm going to tell you the story the way." It's from the Misnagdish side, from the Litvish side, not from the Hasidic side, because that's the way we tell the story. We all know, I mean, I'm just adding this, we all know that despite the fact that the Hasidim suffered a lot from the Misnagdim, but yet the Alter Rebbe was very clear, unequivocally, that Hasidim were not to give back. Hasidim was to tolerate till the end. Would never, even in the Tanya, printed the letter from today's Parsha. Yaakov says, "Kotoyti mikol haChasodim u'mikol haEmes." I've been diminished because all of the kindness, all the truth. He says, if a Eibishter does a kindness with you, Eibishter made the miracle of Yutes Kislev, is not for you to become empowered to go against your opponents, to try to fight back, in fact, no way. The Rebbe says it will not stir it. Not even Lisrek Aleim, as the Friedrich Rebbe said in Yiddish, Pfeifen, Afilin is Pfeifen, I'm saying. Not anything, he was totally against anything. The Rebbe wanted Sholem to the extreme. There's even a letter at the Rebbe's wedding in, we just celebrated it, Yudalit Kislev, in Topresh Peites, in Warsaw, the Rebbe's wedding to the Rebbetzin. They gave out a special gift, a handwriting, and over there was a letter from the Alter Rebbe to the Hasidim. It was in the one of the Hasidim in Vilna, in the shul, the Lubavitcher shul, was Rebbe Meir Falls. And he used to be with the Misnagdim, and he converted, sort of, and he was a very, very important person. And I'm just saying this, Derech Agav, and there were some, you know, hotheads amongst the Hasidim. He was very tolerant of the, he said, let's work it out, you know, in a peaceful way, in a gentleman's way. And the hotheads said, we can't suffer from the Misnagdim. They wanted to give back. They didn't want to sit there and take it. So some of the Hasidim, the younger one, they sort of had a few words with Reb Meir Falls, who was, and Alter Rebbe writes a very strong worded letter to, that you need to get up and apologize to the Rebbe of Reb Meir Falls, and that's not the way, and, you know, Leman HaSholem, and they gave the handwriting of that Alter Rebbe is writing to him. They distributed, that was sort of a gift, special handwriting. The Alter Rebbe wanted Sholem, only Sholem. When the Misnagdim, headed by the great Rabbi Eliyahu, they, as I hinted, they were afraid. I mean, they were afraid. What is this new movement? You know, where is it going to lead? And the truth of the matter is, it wasn't just the Vilna Gaon that was afraid. Even some of the colleagues of the Alter Rebbe were also not comfortable with this teaching of Hasidus in such a way. There's a story about Reb Pinchas of Koritz, who was one of the students of the Magid, a contemporary, an older student of the Alter Rebbe. They once found a piece of paper of Hasidus that was roaming around the floor, and he was very upset about it, because this was holy teachings and it wasn't respectful for it to be on the floor. And the Alter Rebbe sort of calmed him down by giving him a moshel. He gave him a parable. He said, there was once a king who had an only son. He got very sick, and they could not help him. They didn't know what to do. And then he got so sick already that he became paralyzed, and he could not even open his mouth. And they knew that if they take the a diamond or a precious stone, which was in the crown, if they crushed it and they mixed it, and they give it to the child to drink, maybe that would help, but he couldn't even open his mouth. So what does it mean? So they have to pour, and it's spilled out all over. So they came to the king and asked him, what do we do? I mean, if we're going to take the jewel of the crown and crush it, there goes your kingdom. That's the most important part. And we're not even sure if it's going to help, because we don't even know if it's going to help. And even if it helps, you can't even drink it. So what do we do? And the king said, well, it's my only child. What's the value of my crown? What's the value of the precious stone? If there is even a chance that my young child can be saved, we should crush the stone. We should try. Maybe. And the Alter Rebbe was basically saying, Jewish people need now this teaching. Unfortunately, some of it gets spilled out and somebody gets... But maybe a yid, maybe one yid, maybe two yid, maybe somebody will be able to drink. And that can save their life. So even the Alter Rebbe's contemporaries had issues with the level of dissemination of the Alter Rebbe. Certainly, as I said, they suffered before from various different cults and different movements, and it was a concern. But the Alter Rebbe, imagine, I just want to say to you this, but in all honesty, imagine somebody came up today and said to you, I have a new way of serving Hashem, you know, would we go along? Well, we wouldn't go along with that. Nobody would go along with that. It's no surprise, huh?
The crowd was not just, he had visions as well.
Absolutely.
He had understanding.
No, absolutely.
His Eben Shlema is not different than the Tanya.
No, I'm not trying to measure him. What I'm trying to say is,
so how do you...
Okay, one second, I'm going to get to
that. That the Tanya is the same.
No, what?
That the Tanya and Eben Shlema speak about the same spiritual levels. So how a person of his stature did not understand that this is a holy man?
So it's the same question, like, okay, I just want to tell you what the Rabbi Soloveitchik said, and then we'll answer that directly.
The Alter Rebbe doesn't really have, because the doesn't hold from the furnace of Arizal at all, entirely. It doesn't hold from the Arizal. But that's the difference.
But the Alter Rebbe tried, I just want to just tell you some of the history. The Alter Rebbe tried very, very strongly that there should be peace, because unfortunately the Jewish community was split. There was the two sides, and the Alter Rebbe desperately tried to get through to the Vilna Gaon to try to show him, to convince him that his way and the Baal Shem Tov and his teachings do not, God forbid, even in one iota detract or go away from the Torah. The contrary. If somebody opens up the first chapter of Tanya, nobody writes like the Alter Rebbe about the importance of learning Torah and how one instant of not... I mean, the Alter Rebbe was trying. He came, so Rabbi Soloveitchik says that they came to the shul of the Alter Rebbe, of the Gro. The Gro was learning up in the attic. And they came to talk to him, to try to see, maybe we can work things out, to try. They told him that he's not welcome. He's not welcome. But the Alter Rebbe didn't hear. He said, we're still going to try. Anyways, they went up to the attic and they knocked at the door. He wouldn't let him in. And eventually, I didn't hear the story again this year, but I think he found a ladder. He went out there. Huh?
His mother put the ladder up.
Put the ladder up so he could go out through the window over there, so he left. That's how much he didn't want. Now, you're asking me how come. Everything what happens is divinely inspired while we still have Bechira Chofshis, which have freedom of choice. But at the end of the day, the way things come out, that's the way it's meant to be. And unfortunately, even by the great amongst Israel throughout the history, throughout the generations, there was a lot of disagreement. I'm not talking about today's times. I mean, I don't know. Today's is Narishkeit, but I'm talking about in the old days when we talk about really great people and great tzaddikim. You find it throughout the history, you find it in Tanakh, and you find it by the brothers of Yosef. We're starting to read it now. You know, the tzaddikim, they were the greatest tzaddikim. And then you wonder, you know, how could this happen? How could they do something like that? And how could the brothers of Yosef, their own brothers, how could they do that? Well, we know the end of the story is that the Eibishter orchestrated it. It doesn't exonerate the brothers for what they did. They had their choice. As the Alter Rebbe writes, explains in Tanya, that everybody has to answer for his choice. But at the end of the day, certain things are orchestrated by the Eibishter. Neira Lilov Neodov, the Eibishter plans everything. This was part of the Eibishter's plans. It's not something that we can necessarily understand. The fact that Rebbe Eliyahu, the Gaon of Vilna, did not want to accept the Rebbe under no circumstances. They were trying, begging, trying to make peace, and he wouldn't accept it. That means that that was Milmailo, that he shouldn't accept it, because there is really no rational explanation. The Alter Rebbe begged him, and they said, let's... The Alter Rebbe wasn't saying, I'm going to debate you. You're right, or I'm right. I just want to show you that we don't deviate from the Torah. What you say, what the people were saying, is not true. You know, it's not true. Give me an opportunity to defend myself. He asked them for an opportunity instead of coming out and against. Now, you would expect that they would have... Apparently, Milmailo, it wasn't meant to be that way. It was meant that this is the way it should be, because... It happened also, it wasn't reasonable for this to happen. When somebody reaches out, okay, you want to debate him? And Rebbe Leo was a good debater. He doesn't need my approval. He could prove. He knew every part of the Talmud, of the Torah, everything he knew, right? He could debate it. So what, are you going to say he was afraid to debate the Alter Rebbe? No, probably wasn't afraid. But it was meant like that. I'm sure the Alter Rebbe would have proved to him that they're following from the Torah with the Alter Rebbe. Seek shalom. You know, a lot of us, we live in a world today, you know, we're surprised how so many lies, and so many falsehoods, talking about our situation. We have to remember what we're living today through is a continuation of the Holocaust. This is not something new. This